Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to the MMA Fan Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Stu and Blake.
Hello and welcome to the MMA Fan Podcast. I'm Stu Whiffin, sitting beside me always, Blake Harrison. How are you, mate?
Very good, mate. Very good. How are you?
I'm all right. So we're doing this a little bit later than planned because we was hoping, and there's been some kind of mix-up, to have had Jordan Vucenic joining us today for our pre-286 chat. We're sure that we'll catch up with Jordan at some point. There's every chance that he may well just pop up on this Zoom call in the middle of the episode. But we've chose to just steam into the episode and discuss all things 286. So fingers crossed Jordan turns up in the middle of that. Other than that, we'll try and reschedule a chat and get Jordan on, because it's been made quite clear by just looking at our statistics, isn't it, Blake, that Jordan is a very, very popular fighter. He's one of the most listened to episodes that we've ever had on the MMA Fan Podcast.
Yeah, he's a really great guy, really good fighter. It's a shame for him how things went in his last fight against Paul Hughes, but there's plenty to talk to him about. He's fighting Tiziano Ferranti this Friday coming on Cage Warriors. I was hoping to ask him whether it might be a mini tournament going on, because we've got Jordan versus Tiziano Ferranti, we've got Morgan Charriot versus James Hendon. Four top featherweights at that level, and you're thinking maybe the winners of those two fights may fight each other for a vacant featherweight belt if Paul Hughes has found his way to the UFC. I've not seen any news on whether Paul Hughes has found his way to the UFC, but wishing him all the best. Hope he does make it to the UFC and gets a nice little contract with them. So maybe that's going to happen. So, yeah, some exciting stuff hopefully ahead for Jordan Vucenic, and hopefully he'll be joining us, maybe even, as we say, popping in on this call at some point.
Absolutely. And before we jump into this upcoming weekend's UFC, we're recording this on Sunday the 12th, and it's impossible not to talk about just a couple of the fights, really, from what happened last night at UFC. And, I mean, Mirab, I did not see that fight going that way against Peter Yan. He demolished him, broke him down, beat him every possible place in that octagon. The cardio, where that come from, I've no idea. It was relentless. And the leg kicks, like, Peter Yan looked lost, I thought.
Yeah, I mean, Mirab is called the machine for a reason.
Yeah.
I mean, also he had that whole Georgia versus Russia thing going on. It motivated him more. Maybe when you look at the kind of, with hindsight, do you look at that kind of the ceremonial kind of weigh-in, the face-off situation where Peter Yan pushed him?
It was a weird push. It was like an open hand strike to the, almost like his collarbone neck. It was, I watched it quite a few times. I was like, that's pretty nasty what he done there. Yeah.
And before that, he didn't really look at him, did he? He was like avoiding eye contact, whereas Mirab was really ready to look him in the eye. And you think, well, psychologically, was something going on there? I don't know. But I mean, both people, both fighters are now in a very weird place. I'm trying to keep my voice down a little bit because my son is trying to sleep above me. So I'm trying to be good before my wife comes down and says, will you shut the fuck up? But Merab is in a strange place because he's never going to fight the champion. Him and Aljamain Sterling, very, very good friends. They're not going to fight each other. Aljo's fighting Henry Cejudo in May. And if Aljo's talked about going up to featherweight quite often, but if Aljo beats Henry Cejudo, next in line is Sean O'Malley. And I think Sean O'Malley is a way easier fight for Aljamain Sterling than Henry Cejudo. And not only that, but Sean O'Malley is the biggest payday for Aljamain Sterling outside of maybe a Henry Cejudo, maybe even including Henry Cejudo.
Yeah.
So Aljo really should stick around to fight O'Malley, which means Merab is waiting around for ages. And does he have to take another fight against, say, the winner of Chito Vera, Corey Sandhagen, which happens in a couple of weeks? I don't know, but really, someone on his win streak and having just beaten Peter Yan should be getting a title shot, but it's probably not going to happen right away. So he's got to either take another fight or he waits around for ages hoping Aljo goes up. I don't know.
It's such a weird thing, isn't it? When I sort of watched the fight start last night, and he established himself very early on, and I was just thinking, even if he wins this, like, it's so weird that the champ's in his corner, and it's like, you win this and you're the number one, but the champ, you're never going to fight. It's just odd. And then you say there's so many other kind of things in and around that, and there's so many ifs, whys, and whens that might never happen. So, like you say, like, what does he do? Does he just sort of hang around? Like, I don't think he's somebody that's going to be able to fight at a different weight. You know, he seems very comfortable and natural where he is.
He's not very big. I mean, he weighed in at 134.5 for a non-championship fight. So he's not very big, is he? Whereas Aljo will be moving up soon. So I don't know. But, I mean, more worryingly, what is next for Peter Yan? He's on, like, a three-fight losing streak. Is it? No, technically, Peter Yan, a guy that a while ago, many people, including myself, were saying, this is a guy that could reign at the top of the bantamweight division for a long time. He is really special. And then all of a sudden now, that man, he's on like a three fight. Oh, hang on. No, because he beat Sandhagen, didn't he? So maybe he's not. But he's won something like one of his last five fights. Peter Yan, I'm going to have to look this up now because I'm very interested in what his record is. But for him to be just winning, like, he lost to Aljo for the DQ, which it was a fight he was absolutely dominating. He was beating Aljamain Sterling from pillar to post. If he doesn't throw that illegal knee, Aljamain is never the champion, and Piotr Jan could be on, you know, his, I don't know, second, third title defense. Sure. Who knows? And then he faces Aljo again, loses a split decision that I think he did lose, but it was a split decision. Then I think he went and he beat Corey Sandhagen for... Oh, no. Or did he beat Corey Sandhagen for the interim belt before rematching Aljamain Sterling?
Yes.
Yes. So he beat Sandhagen after that in a really close but brilliant fight, but he definitely won. Then he fights Aljo again, loses a close split decision, which, you know, he lost. Then he fights Sean O'Malley, loses a contentious split decision that a lot of people thought that Yan won. And now he's fought Merab, where Merab 50-45'd him. I mean, where does Yan go from here? This is a position that none of us thought Peter Yan would be in. And he's now he's on a three-fight losing streak. And this last fight was... That had never been done to him. I mean, split decisions, contentious split decisions, you know, that's sort of one of those things that happens at the top level. But to be 50-45'd...
Pieced up, outworked, outclassed, like in every possible place. It was... Yeah, it was crazy. And I it's one of the fights when it sort of gets to round three, and you know, you always have a thing that Peter Yan's a bit of a slow starter. You know, he's going, and the deeper the water's got, he just seemed to look more and more lost, more and more sluggish. He couldn't get his boxing going. His legs were clearly giving him a lot of pain, and he just couldn't ever really get going. And I think he didn't get a moment to compose himself because Merab was just relentless. It was complete dominance, and I don't know. I don't know where he's out of his contract, Peter Yan, but he could probably quite easily go and make a lot of money in PFL. and because he is an absolute savage.
I don't think he'll leave the UFC. I mean, I think we could. I don't think Petr Yan's very old either. I think we could see Yan have another run at the belt.
Yeah,
but I mean, what's next? You got Adrian Yanez versus Rob Font coming up soon. That's a fight I can't wait for. It's going to be such a good fight. The winner of that, Yan could fight them.
Yeah,
but he's going to have to put together like a 3-4 fight win streak now to get back to a title shot, which I think is doable. I think he can do it. But bantamweight is a very, very deep division, and mentally, where is he at right now?
And as we touched upon before we pressed record today, we both thought Petr Yan was going to win that. I thought he was going to knock him out. I thought he's boxing so good, he's going to knock him out, and couldn't have been more wrong. Great night for former guest of the show, the delightful human being that is Davey Grant. Tough couple of rounds, first two rounds for Davey. And I mean, for those that didn't see it, talk us through that. The climax of that fight, Mr. Harrison?
Well, it was an interesting one because I felt like Sun Tzu probably won the first two rounds. And then Davey Grant's then in a situation where he's sort of with, I don't know, like 2 minutes to go or a minute and a half to go. Sun Tzu gets yet another takedown against the fence. And Davey Grant grabs the fence to try and prevent going down further or getting taken down. And the referee, Keith Peterson, he stops the fight, takes Davey into the centre of a ring and takes a point away from him immediately, which Davey Grant looks furious about. And it did feel harsh. It did feel harsh. It was a bad fence grab. He would have been taken down without that fence grab. I'm usually in the camp where you go, you've grabbed the fence, I'm going to start you down where I think you would have been, person on top of you, they're in your guard or something like that, whatever, you're punished in that way. Taking the point straight away feels harsh to me. But for Davey, it was the best thing because then he had like a minute and a half to just do whatever he possibly could against the Sun Tzu. I think he maybe landed a spinning back fist at one point.
It was. He came straight in when they restarted it with a spinning back fist.
I mean, and just rocked him bad. But Sun Tzu again tried to go back to the wrestling to save himself. And somehow, in the middle of a scramble, Davey Grant pulls out an inverted triangle with just seconds, like 15 or so seconds left on the clock in a fight he was losing against a legend like Rafael Sun Tzu. And he pulls out an inverted triangle, which you do not see those often. And I think I heard the commentators like Paul Felder saying, like, you don't really get them in the gym very often, let alone in a fight at this level. And not only that, he choked him unconscious.
Yeah.
He choked him out. And you're just like, Jesus, Davey Grant, what a win. What a win.
Yeah.
That guy is just like a bonus machine. Like, Davey Grant.
Davey Grant don't get the respect in the world of UK MMA. Like, he has got some incredible wins. And it, for me, like you say, he's got bonus written all over him. And he just, for me, I think it's a crying shame that he's not on this card that we're about to talk about.
Yeah. I mean, Davey Grant, even if he's not winning, that man is so exciting to watch. Like, looking at his record, he's on a 2-fight win streak now. Before that, he lost to Adrian Yanez, who we've already mentioned on the show. Absolutely phenomenal, Adrian Yanez. I'm a big fan of his. And Davey Grant lost that by split decision, and it was a very exciting fight. Before that, a man called Marlon Chito Vera. I don't know if you've heard of him, guys. Lost a decision in, again, a very exciting, good fight. And then before that, he's knocking out Jonathan Martinez. He is knocking out Martin Day. He's, you know, this guy is very, very exciting. He gives everything, every single fight, and he's hugely fan-friendly, but as you say, doesn't always get the respect that he deserves. So, well done.
Should we talk about this Saturday? I mean, he did say in his post-fight, didn't he? He said, I'm good to go. Put me on next week.
Put me in, coach. Man, I am so excited for this. I'm just constantly checking my phone just to see if a certain former Cage Warriors champion is seeing my message to see if he's going to pop into the chat. But let's go. Let's start this one. Leon Edwards versus Kamaru Usman, the third installment, the trilogy, at the O2. First pay-per-view in England for, what, I don't know, 6 years?
Bisping Hendo?
Bisping Hendo, yeah, whenever that was. So excited, man. I mean, I'm really excited about the co-main, I have to say. I think that's going to be... I sent a message on the WhatsApp group because I'd been watching some Fiziev and Gaethje fights this week. Yeah. And so I sent a message on our WhatsApp group with Pip and Brian Lacey. And I was like, it's going to be carnage. It's going to be absolute carnage. I cannot wait. But let's go with the main event. Let's go with Edwards Usman, because I'm excited for this in a different way. I think this could be... back and forth. I think it could be very technical. I think it's going to be a well-rounded mixed martial arts fight. Really, really excited about this one. How did you feel in anticipation towards it headlining the first pay-per-view we've had in the UK for such a long time?
It's going to be incredible. Hopefully, you know, it's looking like we're going to be there. I can't believe, if we get there, you know, I know you're a big fan of Fiziev. I can't believe that I'm going to watch Justin Gaethje get in an octagon. I'm so excited about that.
Yeah, man.
But to talk about Kamaru and Leon, I think this is... I don't really know how this is going to go, because there's so many things that, you know, we spoke a little bit, and I know you might even want to talk about it, about the last fight and Leon Edwards and altitude and things like that. And because, you know, it's taking nothing away from Leon that, you know, for four of them rounds, he was losing the fight.
He was. I was going to say, yeah, that the altitude, I think, is the biggest question mark over it, is how much did the altitude play a factor in that second fight? We're all aware of the knockout. We've all seen that incredible video with the Rocky theme tune behind it and Leon's trainer shouting, don't let him bully your son, walk through the fire, all this stuff. Like, it's so good. It gives me goose pimples, that video. Yeah. I love it so much. And we all know that story, this head kick out of nowhere. But before that, as you say, other than round one, which Leon won, it was one-way traffic.
Yeah,
Usman
was
all over him. Leon couldn't get started. And Leon's mentioned the altitude and he couldn't get started and all that stuff. And I rewatched the second fight. And you see in that second fight, in round one, even though Usman lost it, and particularly in round two, Usman lands some ferocious body shots. Like, he pushes Edwards up against that cage. Edwards has got a high guard and Usman is ripping him to the body. And I don't remember that. It's not because obviously everyone thinks about altitude and the kick. And, you know, the post-fight press conference, number one pound-for-pound headshot dead. I mean, that's the iconic stuff now. You don't remember the body shots that Usman was landing. And I was like, how much is the altitude playing a factor in comparison to the body shots that Usman was landing? And I sent a message to the Einstein of MMA, a friend of mine by the name of Dan Hardy.
Look at you. Just drop that name. Fucking hell.
But I wanted to know, you know, if you need a question answered, go to the best.
He's the guy, right? Of course he is.
Because in the commentary as well, you hear DC talking about the fact that Leon Edwards has been sleeping in an elevation tent. He's been Salt Lake City for 2 weeks prior to the event. So he's acclimatized. He's done everything right.
Kamaru, not Leon.
No, Leon has been in Salt Lake for 2 weeks and been sleeping in an elevation tent. So the elevation shouldn't have as much of an effect on him. This is what DC was saying in the commentary. So I messaged Dan about it. And he was like, you know, it could be a bit of both because the body shots were there. But he said the way his performance went flat makes him think that it was very much the altitude. He says he thinks the elevation tents help a little bit, but, you know, nothing in comparison to the fact that Usman, and I didn't think Usman trains at elevation, he trains in Colorado. And here's the thing I didn't know, which Dan pointed out to me, is Colorado is apparently 6,800 feet above sea level. And Salt Lake City is 4,300 feet above sea level. So Usman has actually gone down in elevation to fight Leon, and Leon has gone way up in elevation to fight Usman. That is going to play a massive factor, surely.
Yeah.
And that is what Dan the Outlaw Hardy was saying. So
former guest of the show, Dan Hardy.
Former guest of the show. That is one of our great interviews. I love it. I mean, tooting my own
really
horn
is.
There, or our own horns there. But it's, you know, I think that's a cracking interview, the Dan Hardy one. So go and listen to that. But yeah, so from the mouth of Einstein, of the Einstein of MMA, Dan Hardy, shout out to him. Big thank you for answering my message and not ghosting me, like so many do.
So of all of this... Now, you know, a little bit of clarity on that. How are you seeing this fight going?
Well,
who's winning?
It's still close. I can see this being a decision.
Of course it's close.
And I can see it being a split decision. Like, I think it's super close. Factors that I can't get... I've had a gut feeling about Leon, but my gut feelings don't mean shit, if I'm perfectly honest. I had a gut feeling Peter Yarn was going to knock out Merab Dvalishvili. That didn't happen. So don't worry about my gut. I have had a gut feeling about Leon for a while that he could do this. Factors that play into his favour are that he did win round one, and the elevation, according to Dan, according to Leon... did play a factor in that fight. Also the fact that Usman is now, and you're going to hate this because I always talk about age, Usman is going to be 36 in May, and he's just suffered a massive, if not his first ever, big KO, which can change fighters. And he suffered it only 7 months ago. Like, maybe that's a long enough.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Have time to truly recover from that, but I think when fighters receive that kind of a blow, maybe you take a year off or something like that. So he's coming back. Not that he had much of a choice, you know, he's got to come back and get an immediate rematch. So only 7 months ago, he suffered a vicious KO against a guy that's only 31 in his prime. And he's going to be 36 soon. Yeah, I don't know. I'm leaning towards Leon. Those are the factors that I'm thinking about. But ultimately... the other factor that you would consider if you're an Usman fan is Usman was on his way to a very comfortable win in that fight before the head kick from nowhere. So, yeah. What about you? How are you seeing it going down?
I think we've seen very little from Usman in the lead up to this. I think he's literally head down, and I think he's going to be coming out. And I think he's going to want to try and make a statement. Of course, you know, he's that loss is going to haunt him forever. And if he can do something spectacular to redeem that, then I think that's what he's going to do. I think Leon's going to come out into his own back garden with a roar that he's never heard before. And I think it's going to be completely inspiring and uplifting and will drive him, you know, if the gas tank starts to empty a little. I think the roar of the O2 will be so important. I think Leon Edwards wins a decision.
Yeah. So we're going the same. Pick the same outcome here. Of course you do.
Come on.
Oh, boy. This is the one. Like, I'm excited for Leon Usman. But this, if my son wasn't trying to sleep above me right now, I would be going nuts right now. I'm so freaking excited about this fight. I've watched pretty much all of the Fiziev UFC fights.
Yeah.
And I've watched a few Gaethje fights in the lead up to this. Oh my God, it's going to be crazy. They're just going to go. And it's going to be high level as well, but they are going to go for each other and I can't wait. Factors to consider for me. Rafael Fiziev has not fought anyone of Justin's level yet. The highest he's fought is Rafael Dos Anjos, who's still a really good level, but I don't think he's Justin level. So as I say that, I'm starting to actually question whether that's true, but I do like RDA.
No, I think RDA around the time of that fight was looking great.
I mean, I don't know, like maybe he is then, but I know he's obviously a former champion. That was a while ago, but I love Justin. I'm a big Justin fan. I know you're a big Justin fan. If you like MMA, you're a big Justin fan. There's no way you can't be. But Fiziev, you know, Justin hits hard, but Fiziev has got good defense. Fiziev does get clipped. I was about to say he's got good defense, striking defense, but he does get clipped a lot. He got clipped a lot in the Brad Riddell fight. I need to bring up his kind of resume to see
Bobby Green.
Bobby Green, he got clipped a lot. And in that third round, he was gassing a bit as well. Mm. So if Gaethje kind of comes through into the kind of latter part of that second round and into the third round, there's a possibility that if Gaethje, even if he's taken a bunch of punishment, could land one on Fiziev, because Fiziev, I think, does have a couple of question marks maybe over his gas tank, even though, having said that, Fiziev's RDA win was fifth round with, you know, a knockout. So that was pretty impressive, and that was in the fifth round. I think what's interesting is that Fiziev is a former international Muay Thai champion, and Justin Gaethje's number one weapon in a lot of his big fights is the leg kicks.
Yeah.
So if you've got that background, maybe you would know more than me, like, 'cause you've done more Muay Thai than I have. But when you've got that background, when you're that level of, like, you know, former Muay Thai international champion, even though Gaethje's leg kicks are phenomenal, he throws them at weird times, weird angles, when you don't think they can be thrown, and they're incredibly powerful. Is someone with Fiziev's background just going to be able to check those way easier than most fighters that Gaethje has fought could have done?
I see what you're saying, and there's probably MMA, as we put in the show notes, we are not qualified to kind of make these kind of statements and they be certified. But what I'll say is the stance of a mixed martial artist is very different to the stance of a Muay Thai fighter. And what you don't ever see is Fiziev standing there, you know, bouncing the front knee in a Thai stance, in a position where he can check kicks really easily. You know, there's far more things that are going to, you know, dictate how you stand, how you move. So, yeah, I know what you're saying. If it was a Muay Thai fight, then obviously, yes. But I don't think, obviously, he's going to be very aware of the fact that Justin Gaethje, you know, kicks like a donkey. And you know, it will hurt. And I don't know. I don't necessarily think that the MMA stance lends itself to checking kicks as easily as a Muay Thai stance. I think that's what I'm trying to say, essentially.
But the MMA stance obviously comes from the threat of the takedown a lot of the time as well.
Exactly.
Is Gaethje going to use any offensive wrestling? I mean, he can. He's a good wrestler. He's got the certain credentials, like college, all that kind of stuff.
Mm.
But he never uses it. He uses it as a defensive weapon to then just re-engage in the striking. So can Fiziev kind of, I don't know, adopt more of a Muay Thai mentality at least, because he thinks Gaethje's not going to try and take me down. He doesn't take anyone down. He just swings punches and hammers home leg kicks. I don't know.
Swings punches with hard hitters like Michael Chandler, you know.
Yes.
Swings punches with Tony Ferguson, Donald Cerrone, Edson Barboza. You know, you want to talk about a really incredible kickboxer. Look at Edson Barboza.
Yes,
you know,
and he
knocked him out in round one.
Oh, my God, that was phenomenal. But, I mean, when I look at Gaethje when he's fought the top-tier guys, a lot of the time he has fallen short. He's fallen short against Oliveira, Poirier, Eddie Alvarez. And in the Alvarez and Poirier fights in particular, the leg kicks is what kept him in the game, because they were boxing him up at points. And he was landing strikes, but It was the leg kicks where he was really damaging Poirier and really damaging Alvarez. And obviously Alvarez then ended up with a massive welt on his cheek as well. But it was the leg kicks that were his key weapon. And that's why I'm wondering about Fiziev having the Muay Thai background that he has got. Can he, if he can nullify that key weapon with checks and, I don't know, whatever Muay Thai fighter would do it in order to try and nullify that, if he can, does it then become more of a boxing match? And I think Fiziev has got the edge there. I think he's got the speed. He can crack. And I think it's going to be, I just think it's going to be a great fight.
Yeah.
A great fight. And I think Fiziev is the favourite at the moment.
Neither of them are ever in boring fights.
Neither of them are ever in boring fights. I think Fiziev is the favourite currently.
Is he?
And I'm, yes, he is. Yeah. Gaethje's actually a decent underdog in this.
Wow.
I think I looked at it, he was 2-1 on something, and I was just like, wow. So that was surprising. So, yeah, maybe my problem is I just don't see Gaethje connecting on Fiziev for those first couple of rounds. Third round, maybe, but maybe not the first couple. But fuck, what do I know, man? I just know it is going to be a great fight. Fiziev does get hit. He does get hit, particularly as the fight goes on, because he starts to get tired. So this is going to be a corker. I think it's going to be fight of the night, and I think it's going to 100%. Be a really, really fun fight. If I had to gun to my head, I'd say Fiziev wins this.
We disagree on this one.
Or I think he might even be able to get a finish. There's only so long that Gaethje can keep taking all the punishment he's taken over the years. I think we could see Fiziev do it and maybe even get a finish. But hey, if Gaethje won, I wouldn't be like shocked or anything, because it just shows that Fiziev, as well as he's done, there's levels, and Gaethje, just that level above.
I reckon Gaethje. And he's going to KO him as well.
He's going to KO him. Do you have a round?
Second.
Oh, I love a bit of specificity. Great stuff.
Well, moving on, there's some fights that, I don't think we want to talk about the whole card in depth because we'll be here all night, but Brian Barberena versus Gunnar Nelson at 170. I think, from what I can read here, it's on the main card. I think there's other fighters that could have been put on that main card that are on the prelims that I think the crowd would have really, really gone for. I know the UK fans have got a weird affiliation with Gunnar through the Conor connection and stuff back in the day. It feels like everybody in the UK, got behind Gunnar Nelson whenever he was fighting. And,
They got behind Gunnar Nelson when he was fighting Leon Edwards.
Mm.
I was in the crowd at that point. That was, I think, the Darren Till Masvidal fight. And I was shocked because I was thinking Leon Edwards is a UK fighter. And people were cheering Gunnar over Leon. I think it also had something to do with the fact that there was a strong Scouse contingent in the audience. And Leon and Darren had been going back and forth with each other a bit. But yeah, that was a weird one. But yeah, they do. The UK fans love Gunnar.
Yeah. And don't get me wrong, incredible fighter. And I was very, very excited to watch Gunnar fight probably 4 or 5 years ago, maybe even longer, to see where his career was going to go, because he looked very exciting. And then it kind of, I'm really great, so it sort of petered out a little bit. And,
he got a win on the last London card. The March London card.
Yeah.
He got a win there back in the win column after having a little bit of time off. Very different to Brian Barberena, because Barberena fights really regularly. He seems like one of those kind of stalwarts of the welterweight division. He's had like 3 or 4 fights in the time that Gunnar's had one. Barberena never really gets subbed, and seven of Gunnar's UFC wins have been submissions. So I don't know whether Gunnar will get another sub here. He possibly can. Brian Barberena rarely gets subbed, but his last fight was RDA, where he did get subbed. I can see this being one of those kind of decisions where Gunnar Nelson takes him down regularly. He's probably got a body triangle on him for 4 minutes and he's trying to get a choke, but he's being defended, stuff like that. And he gets a decision, but it's not the most eye-catching of fights. Another former guest of the show, Joanne Wood. is fighting Luana Carolina. I've not got a huge amount to say about this fight. Luana Carolina was, we last saw her on the March London card as well, getting spinning elbowed into the nether realm by Molly McCann. And now she's fighting Jojo Wood. Jojo is 37 now. She's on a 3-fight losing streak.
Yeah.
I really, really want her to win this fight. And I wonder, I just wonder if she can win this fight, would that be a really good time to call it quits on home soil and say thank you very much? Not that I would want to put pressure on any fighter to do that. You know, fighters fight as long as they want, all that kind of stuff. But I wonder if it, we don't get very happy retirements in MMA most of the time. Mostly it's like people are on a terrible losing streak. Like, look what happened to Frankie Edgar and all that stuff, getting knocked out recently a few times and all of that. It would be nice to see a retirement where a fighter is on home soil, they win a fight when they've been on a losing streak, and they go, oh, it's not going to get much better than this again for me. Let me call it quits.
I think so. And it looks like she's got a nice life. Obviously, she's married to John Wood, head coach over at Syndicate. You know, she's if her socials are anything to go by, she seems, you know, very much part of that gym, and seems to have a very nice life over in Vegas. Yeah, I mean, like you say, looking at the people that she's lost to, as well, no shame in that, you know, Grosso, Talia Santos, Lauren Murphy. And Jennifer Meyer, which obviously we're going to talk about as well on this card. It's weird. It wasn't that long ago. It was only like in 2020. It was looking like she was going to be fighting Valentina for a shot at the title. That got cancelled. That fight.
It didn't get cancelled. There was something that happened where she was the next up to fight, but then for whatever reason, I don't know if Valentina was injured. I don't think the fight was like. Maybe the fight was announced. Maybe you're right. Maybe it was cancelled. But they were offering to go. No, you can just fight Valentina when she's ready. But instead, she took a fight against Jennifer Meyer and lost that fight. And because of that, she never got to fight for the belt, which is a real shame. What were you saying?
No. That was kind of it. And like, it's not for anybody to start calling for people's retirement. But I totally hear what you're saying. I think if you get a nice win in the UK, what a lovely place to go. Yeah,
it just feels to me like it'd be a nice way, because it's got to come soon. She's 37, so it's going to come soon. If she beats Luana Carolina here, it's a nice way, isn't it? Otherwise, she could end up fighting at the apex in a couple of fights' time on a losing streak, fight someone, get knocked out, and then call it that. It's not as nice. It's not as happy.
Yeah,
and I want to see Jojo do well. Jojo's been on the show. We've had an interview with Jojo before. She's lovely, and I just want to see her do well. And have a nice time and a nice life.
Absolutely. Well, let's talk about Jennifer Meyer. Let's talk.
Oh, you want to talk about that? Okay.
Well, she's fighting Casey O'Neill, another Scottish fighter that fights out of Australia. Or does she fight out of Scotland and he's Australian? It's the other way around, isn't it?
She's got a Scottish flag on her thing.
Yeah,
I think.
Exactly.
She speaks 9-0. In one of those weird hybrid accents, though, I think.
Yeah.
It's like part Scottish, part Australian.
Yeah. You're an actor. Can you do an impression of half Scottish, half Australian?
G'day, mate. Where's me haggis?
There we go. Thank you very much.
that's how she...
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Sounds.
I mean, this is a big fight, right? Casey O'Neill's on an absolute tear at the moment.
Yeah, Casey's on like a four-fight UFC win streak, three finishes in that as well. Casey's part of that kind of group of flyweights that have come through recently, that like the Miranda Mavericks and Erin Blanchfields as yeah. well. And Erin Blanchfield we're seeing now. I mean, if it wasn't for the Grasso win, she'd probably be fighting for the belt in her next fight mm-hmm. now. Who knows what's going to happen between Grasso, Shevchenko, Erin Blanchfield. But there's some really top fighters coming through in that women's flyweight division, and Casey is one of them. Mm-hmm. This is a step up for her, though. I mean, Maya's a former title contender. She's only really lost to top opposition. So if Casey wins this fight, I think that truly cements her as like a future title contender or thereabouts. You know, I mean, if there's going to be a bit of a logjam now because Grasso will probably rematch Shevchenko. Blanchfield is the next in line unless she wants to take another fight. And then you've probably got a few contenders outside yeah. of that as well. Manon Fiorot is another one. So Casey O'Neill, yeah, if she wins this fight, she's probably one, maybe two away from a title shot and will thoroughly deserve it. The fight that I'm actually really interested in is Marvin Vettori versus Roman Dolidze. Vettori 5th, Dolidze 10th, that middleweight division. Who knows what's going to go on that? Adesanya's taking on Pereira at UFC 287 next month, I believe.
Yeah.
So
it's a step up for Dolidze, I think. You know, apart from Hermanson, like the rest of his wins have come against a lot lesser of opponents than what Marvin's fought. I think it's a big step up.
Yeah, it is a big step up, and stylistically, I think it could actually be a problem for him. Now, I'm a big Dolidze fan. As I said, I was watching some of his fights. He is an unbelievable wrestler, and he's got some nasty submissions, man. He's got what he did to Phil Hawes, where he knocked him out, but a minute and a half before knocking him out, he popped the guy's knee in like a knee bar, and he goes for those leg submissions often. He's very, very active off his back. And then you look at what he did to Jack Hermanson. Jack Hermanson is a very, very good grappler. He is an elite-level grappler. And he got him in a calf slicer in a position I'd never really seen before, and then was just raining down punching. Yeah. It was phenomenal. And he does these amazing sweeps. Like, he's a very, very, very good grappler. Striking-wise, he hits hard, he's got power, but I feel like he's maybe a little bit flat-footed for some of the top level guys in the middleweight division. And I think that's where Vettori might have success, because Vittori's got good grappling, not Dolidze level. But if he can just keep the fight standing, keep things on its feet, I think we'll see him dominate in the striking range, have better movement, establish a jab, all those kind of things, land shots. And I think that's where Vettori can probably get it done. But if Dolidze gets a body lock on him and can get him to the ground, Vittori's in for a really, really tough night.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Okay. So we're seeing Jack Shaw, who's moved up to feather, fighting McQuain Amakani. And McQuain's on a... I mean, he was obviously a very promising fighter, and I think, you know, he's not had the best of times recently. Let's have a look at his record. Lost to Jonathan Bittner. Oh, he got a win over Mike Grundy, didn't he, at one of the London cards recently. Yeah. Lost
to Lerone. He is one and four.
Yeah, and that's taking nothing away from that. That's Lerone Murphy's in that one of them, as he's Edson Barbosa. So, you know, he's losing to fantastic opposition. And I think this is a great fight because, you know, we've seen Jack go on an absolute tear at bantamweight and obviously take his first loss, in his last outing. And I think to move up, this is a really good fight. I think it is an experienced fighter, is McQuain, and I think we could see something really, really good. I think Jack's going to want to come out in front of the UK crowd and really make a statement and you know, remind everybody why, you know, he's a fighter that we all need to watch, because his record's phenomenal. And I think he's going to want to put that defeat to bed. And what better place to do it than the O2 in front of the Jack Shaw army?
Yeah, I think I think right. I think his MMA wrestling is going to be enough to keep Amir Khani away from him, because I think Amir Khani is going to want to try and grapple a lot with Jack. I don't think he's going to have the hands to deal with Jack. I think Jack's boxing is going to be better. And I think Jack all round really should be better than Amir Khani. Again, I think he would probably favour keeping it on the feet. But but yeah, I think he's going to win this one. On the Amir Khani thing, if you... Like me and Stu, you use Tapology, right? To look
at, you're going to talk about that photo, right?
Oh my God, what is with that photo? So if you just put in Tapology, you'll find all the fighters' records. It's a brilliant website where you can find all the fighters' records and you know, rumored upcoming fights, all that kind of stuff. And we both use that when we're looking at records of fighters and stuff. Most of the images that they have a photo on everyone's page is just them either standing and flexing at a weigh-in, or maybe mid-fight, or like some kind of shot where they're, you know, doing something fight-related, as you would imagine, winning a fight, something like that. If you look at Amir Khani's Tapology page, it's like a scene from a weird rap video or like some kind of budget Scarface.
Yeah.
It's like he's just got loads of women around him while he's got like some kind of drinks on the go and stuff.
Like a white shirt unbuttoned to the belly button. He's got a load of cards, dice and poker chips just on a table. Arm around one woman, another woman's like tactile and just rubbing his face while the other two are just looking lovingly at him. Four women while he's just looking there like he's put all of his money on the red and it's coming on the red.
It's such a weird photo. I mean,
I hope his management sent that over and said, can we use this one, please?
It's a very, very strange photo. But
he's Mr. Yeah. Finland, though. He's Mr. He's Finland. You face Mr. like that, you're Mr. Finland. Finland.
There you go. other than Jack making his featherweight debut, there's still some other fantastic British fighters on the card. Mohamed Makhachev, you know, is he on like a 3-fight win streak in the UFC now or something like that?
Yeah. 8-0 MMA record.
8-0 MMA. And before that, like had like 31 amateur fights and was undefeated. Yeah. The guy is a future champion at flyweight, possibly even a 2-weight future champion. You never know. But definitely, I think he's coming for that flyweight belt eventually. He's fighting Jafel Filio, who is on a 5-fight win streak outside of the UFC and is making his UFC debut here. If you're a flyweight, I mean, maybe you think, oh, I'm a flyweight on a tear, I'm getting my UFC debut and I'm taking on a guy with loads of hype behind him. If I beat Makhachev, I go straight into a ranking. This is phenomenal. But really, I think, God, that's a lot. UFC debuts can be nerve-wracking. We've seen people lose UFC debuts when they're really, really good fighters because, you know, under those bright lights, it all gets a bit much for them. To do that and then take on Mohamed Makhachev at the same time just seems cruel. I'm like, what's this guy done? Jafel, what have you done, mate? who have you upset?
Yeah, or who have you impressed? Like, it could work the other way, you know? His record's pretty solid, and maybe they're like, look, you know, this guy could bring some fireworks. You're making your debut. This, you know, you could also just think, right, let's go and show the world what I can do. Who knows? I mean, don't get me wrong. There's a reason that everybody's saying Makhachev is going to be the champ because he has looked not always exciting, but he's always looked unbeatable. And I imagine we're going to see quite a dominant performance. But I don't know enough about Jafel Filho to really sort of comment on that.
No, I don't either. Other debut on the card, though, Christian Leroy Duncan.
Yes.
Given up his Cage Warriors belt and then is now in the UFC and he's fighting Todorovic, who, you know, is kind of... He's been in the UFC for a very, very long time. I think he's 6 fights in his UFC career, Todorovic. He's 3-3, so, you know, very hit and miss.
Yeah.
But that's again, that feels like a lot to take. He's taking on someone that's, you know, established in the UFC, not... You know, not by any means on the way out of the UFC, but, you know, is established. And it's a big thing. Christian Leroy Duncan, 7-0, but had, again, another guy that had loads of amateur fights. So you're kind of hoping that the experience at amateur level who's followed him into the professional level, and he's going to do really, really well in this fight against Todorovic. Anything you want to say about that one?
No, not really. Only that, you know, we're seeing so many people moving up from Cage Warriors now, and we're seeing how important that is for the UK scene, or the European scene in general, to see these fighters get the strap over at Cage Warriors, and it almost seems to just open the door then to moving up into the UFC. And that's obviously where so many of these fighters, the UK fighters on here, have come from. Obviously, we've just been talking about Jack Shaw. One of the fighters that I'm really interested to see fight is Lerone Murphy. And obviously, we had Nathaniel Wood on the podcast a couple of weeks ago, which is a great listen. He's such a lovely fellow, his knife. And obviously, he was meant to be fighting Lerone Murphy. What a fight that would have been. I think Blake and I have said it before on here that we're quite happy that fight's not happening, because they're two absolute savages that are both on nice sort of win streaks. But Lerone, feels like Lerone's not fought for a long time.
Yeah, when was his last fight? It must have been a long time. It was.
It was Makwan.
Was it? No, that was ages ago.
2021.
That was back in the September card.
Yeah,
when Blachowicz, it was supposed to be in London, and it ended up in Vegas or something.
It was, yeah, it was November, October 21. That was his last fight.
He was meant to have
he was lined up to fight. It was obviously Nathaniel, and now they've given him Gabriel Santos, who I don't know too much about. I don't know what you know, Blake.
I think he's on his UFC debut, isn't he? It's his UFC debut as well. Lots of currently UFC debuts on this card.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's got a lot of wins. His most recent wins have been coming from strikes as well. So great to see Lerone remain on the card after the Nathaniel Wood gets pulled from it. Because former guest of the show, Lerone Murphy, I should say. Top lad, and excited to see what he can do. UK featherweights, mate, it's exciting. It really is.
It really is, isn't it? And obviously, you know, lest we not forget to mention, Arnold Allen will be taking on Max Holloway in April, I believe it is. Hopefully he'll be one away from he's now one away from a title shot, hopefully, if he beats Max Holloway.
Absolutely. Former Cage Warriors champ Jai Herbert and former guest of the show. Jai Herbert will be fighting Ludovic Klein at 155. Hopefully.
Oh, is that a 155? Oh, yeah, of course it is 155. Yeah.
And be great to see Jai on the card. Obviously, training partner with Leon. So it'd be great to see the Brum Massive.
Jai has never put together two UFC wins. You know, he was two losses and was staring down a barrel of that third loss. And then he got that win against Karma Worthy. I think it was just after that fight that we spoke to him on the show.
Yep.
And then that horrible loss against Topuria in March of last year, which he did really well in that first round, I remember. And then Topuria, I think Topuria is a very, very good fighter. I think definitely a future title contender. Hand sanitizer boy to scousers out there. The Jai took that, and that was a bad knockout. But then he came back, beat Carl Nelson, and let's really hope that he can put together his first little win streak in the UFC. We love Jai Herbert on the show. Lovely, lovely guy. And then the last fight that I don't think we've spoken about is Jake Hadley, Malcolm Gordon. I've not got too much to say about that. I want to see Jake Hadley do well. He'll put together a win streak. He's 1-1 at the moment. So if he wins this fight, he'll be 2-1. Another one in the win column, starting to get that streak going down at flyweight, and he's taking on Malcolm Gordon, who was the last person that Mohammed Makhachev beat with a third-round armbar, I think. So,
Right. Again, so another former Cage Warriors champ.
Yes.
Okay, well, look, I think we've come to the end of the card. Is there anything else on there that we wanted to talk about? I don't think there is there?
I don't think there is.
No, there's a couple of other UK fighters on there, Sam Patterson and Chris Duncan. And I've got to be honest, I'm not overly switched on about too much of... I think they've both come from the contender season, I believe. But again, UK fighters making their UFC big debut this weekend, so it's going to be super exciting. I mean, what more do you want? Leon Edwards, Kamaru Usman, Justin Gaethje, Fiziev at the O2 London pay-per-view.
Yes,
that's huge. I mean, hopefully we're going to get along to Media Day this week, and hopefully try and grab a couple of these fighters and get some little video interviews and stuff, but just a little soundbite so we can put on the socials and stuff. So if you're not following us on Instagram, Facebook and Twitter, then do so, because we're going to try and get some great content. There's lots of stuff going on that we've been thankfully invited to, including sort of official weigh-ins and stuff. So we're going to do our best to get along to as much of that as we can and try and get you some extra bits and pieces to enjoy over on the socials. And fingers crossed, we'll be in the O2 on Saturday to catch all of the action. And nobody's got to stay up late for this one. You can watch it with your pals on a Saturday night. What more do you want? Are we done, Mr. Harrison?
I think we are done. Yep, thanks very much for listening, guys, and we will see you next time.
Absolutely. In the meantime, go check out the back catalogue, because you've heard us say former guest of the show about 300 times on this episode. So go and have a rummage in that archive, because you will get a chance to listen to us chat to all of the cream of the UK fighters, amongst many other absolute legends of the UFC and other organisations. We're back next time. See ya.
Bye.